wolves. Perfect timing.
I mean, that timing is spot on.
Love it.
We are live, so we're going to jump straight in and talk about Tottenham v Wolves, Luke.
That's quick.
Completely forget about the fact that you played Frankfurt this evening and scraped through without one. And let's talk about your wonderful Premier League form.
We don't scrape through, mate. We were just phenomenal. Phenomenal all the way through that game. All the way. And we're not talking about the Wolves game. We're talking about the Frankfurt game. Because no one wants to hear about the Wolves game. Let's be honest. Okay. Let's talk about Wolves. Oh, dear. What can I say about Tottenham, eh? Other than they're fucking frustrating to watch.
And you've lost how many games in the Premier League this season now?
Oh, I don't want to know. I do know, but I'm not saying it.
We can do it for you.
Go ahead.
17.
dear. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
And he would have rested players for tonight's game, right? It wasn't the full first team, or was it?
It was a full team.
So what's the excuses?
What excuses? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Why did you lose 4-2 to Wolves?
Look, I don't even know why Tottenham have lost 17 games this season. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how this has happened.
I do. It's shit.
I can't argue with you, mate. I can't argue. We've been terrible. We have been terrible. He didn't play the fullest team, in fairness. But you look at the team, yeah, and you'd expect him to at least turn up and put a performance in. Yeah. I'm not saying even with a full team we would have beat Wolves. I think Wolves had a free game unbeaten run anyway leading up to the
Informed team down at the bottom half of the table.
Yeah, and I know obviously Tom mentioned this earlier on in the season, the expectations of Spurs thinking better than they should be, and he's right in this sense, is that Spurs have underperformed this season. We're getting beat by teams above us, as if I was in the position of Wolves.
Everyone.
Yeah, well, exactly. But if I was in the position of Wolves, I'd be wanting beating teams below us, because that's literally how poor they've been this season. You should be beating the teams that have not been performing, hence why you're above them in the league. Just performance.
Just to cut in for a second, United have now got a penalty as well. So
fucking hell. Could go that game is crazy. Performance is not good. Like, we had obviously Gray play in that game, who's been playing most of the season, in fairness to him, because of had injuries, and he's been quality, played at right back instead of centre back. Ben Davies come in, he always puts in a shift. Basuma's fucking dog shit. He's not great. He just keeps giving the ball away. But Wolves were just a better team on the night. They had a plan, it worked.
So I didn't watch any of it. I've not watched the highlights. Was it a case of Bruno Fernandes scored it? Was it a case of they caught you on a counter attack? They dominated you. What was the story of the game?
So the story of the game was we dominated possession. We just dominated. It was just a case of we just kept making four mistakes, Clive. Four mistakes. All four goals that they scored were from mistakes from players. Right. What can you do? You could play as best as you want, but if the goalkeeper's being shit, Bergvall giving the ball away, Romero giving the ball away, and I can't remember who the other person was, but then the other one gave the ball away. And it's just four goals from four mistakes.
Your golden boy Spence got an own goal.
He did. It was from the fucking shitty goalkeeper. A goalkeeper's fault. But it's just mistakes, Clive. It's just I don't know what we were doing. It's just one of those games where if someone had a bet on and they put four goals leading from mistakes, that they'd be a millionaire, because it was just a shit fucking game of mistakes. And it's frustrating to watch, because you see tonight's game and everyone like was solid. No mistakes leading up to a goal.
Look, watching, no mistakes leading to goal, but you wasn't
close.
You wasn't great defensively. You dug in, but yeah, they had chances. A better team would have scored goals.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. The chance of that I can't remember his name, Christiansen or something like that. He sort of saw like a hat trick, as they said in the commentary. Like he had chances, and in those games, sometimes you've got to dig deep. Like the way that we've played this season, to beat a team at Frankfurt who I think they said they've lost only three games this season. It's great, you know, from considering where we are in the league and that performance this season. You know, if we was top of the league, everyone would be expecting us to turn up at Frankfurt and smash them, wouldn't they? Or if we were going for top four, they'd be like, well, Spurs should be beating Frankfurt. At this point, Spurs, as you said, Clive, we battled through it, and we were lucky. We were lucky not to lose that game, or at least get the draw to go into extra time in that game. But sometimes you get a bit of luck and sometimes you don't. In the Wolves game, we just made four fucking mistakes. Imagine if it was this game.
Yeah, that's one thing you would say is you'd rather in this, rather in a game against Wolves where you've got nothing to play for in the league now.
Yeah,
like you're not going to get rid of it. The only thing that you're playing for is to finish above West Ham.
Yeah, I guess so, and United, I guess.
Well, and Wolves. Jesus.
Yeah.
You're going to finish rock bottom.
Yeah, at this point, Tottenham at the moment is it's a weird bag because it's the league can't do fuck all, and in Europa League we seem to perform okay. You know, not great. Our last performance against Frankfurt was great at home. We hit the crossbar three times. We had loads of chances. We was all over them, and I think they was expecting to turn up this game and do the same thing, but it didn't work. You know, they had a better plan in this game, and we were lucky. Got the penalty, which was a penalty in this game. I know we're talking about Frankfurt. I do apologise. We should be talking about the Wolves game. But yeah, I'd rather talk about this game because we won.
Terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I know exactly. I've got to take it where I can.
You wait until I speak about Arsenal versus, I mean, Brentford.
By all means, you deserve to be fair. It was a phenomenal performance watching that game. But there's not much I can say. Like we've been going over this for a while now. We've Tottenham losing week in, week out. You know, the whole Ange out as well. Like if he lost today, he'd be gone.
Do you think winning Europa League's enough for him now?
Well, see, I've spoken to a few Spurs fans, and they've said no. They've said that he'll be gone. I don't know what conversations he's had with Levy, because Levy's put up with quite a lot considering like what he's done to other managers. So I don't know if it's a case of there's been discussions in the back as to like, look, we know, you know, for two months straight we missed like 10 players, first team players. We've got players coming back still trying to pick up match fitness. Some players ain't as sharp as they were before the injury. So maybe there is a conversation there with Levy as to like, look, we can see what's happening. We see what's going on. It's not just your fault. And we are performing in Europa League. Like, I don't know. You know, from us, from being a Spurs fan and fans outside, we're like, well, he's not winning the games. He should be gone. Well, you got to look at it as a whole, as a club, as to what has actually happened and what decisions has Ange been doing to make us lose. Some decisions he's made have pissed me off, like late subs and resting. Like Jed Spence, I'm surprised he was on the bench and he didn't start this game. I thought he would have been great to come on, add a bit of pace on for your doggy, but he had a good game today.
Do you think that signifies what his first choice back four is with Porro in there though?
I think Porro just offers that crossing ability, because he's good at getting forward. He's actually not too bad today defensively, but he's normally pretty bad defensively. But getting forward, his crossing has helped us out a lot. And he's passing.
All.
No way.
4-4.
Fucking hell, what a game. So I don't know. I don't know what he's obviously Romero, Van de Ven, and probably Udogi. It would be up in arms on or up to decision on him who wants to play on the right. I think Jed Spence, just from performance that he's done for us, would probably deserve to be on the right back, because Porro's been pretty shit defensively. But
that's the thing is, I look at that team. And I get Porro is good going forward, and that is kind of the modern wing back.
It is, yeah.
But at the same time, Spencer's decent going forward. He can carry the ball. He's got pace. He's probably offers a bit more in the air in both defensive and attacking ability. Yep. And he, I mean, I said it a couple of times when he first kind of was forced into the team. I think Spencer's, he overplays it at times, right?
Yeah.
But even so, he's still less likely to make an error than Porro, in my opinion.
Exactly. Exactly that. You know, he's just a better player.
5-4 United.
Dirty bastard.
Something's wrong with this football at the moment.
Harry Maguire.
Oh, fucking hell. But that's all I've got really on Tottenham. There isn't really much to talk about. They're losing again and possibly Ange out every week.
I mean, that's still the big thing for me. Is I don't think he's done enough to stay there once this season's over. And I don't know what your thoughts are on if you had not a perfect season for fitness or injuries, but if you was to start this season again and you would have, say, the same amount of injuries as Liverpool, where do you think you'd honestly finish in the league?
I think from the mistakes and stuff we've made, I would probably say we'd be in the top half. I'd probably say we're like eighth or something.
So do you think the squad's good enough going into next season then?
No. I think players like Bissouma needs to go. I think Maddison needs to get his fucking fitness up and stop getting injured. Ben Davies needs to go. And we'd have Danzo playing a bit more. Richarlison is a player that has ability. We know that. He's done it for Brazil. He's done it for Everton. It's just he can't stay fit. Like I don't know. We need to get rid of players. I don't care how good they are, that keep spending too much time on the, I won't say the operating table, but it is the operating table because they keep having surgeries, these players. We can't be consistent through the league where players in the areas that we need keep getting injured. You know, when players like Gray, who were playing week in, week out and not getting injured, and he was pretty good. Bergvall, who's just coming in, he's like 19 and he's been playing, getting first team football now. I think he'll be solid next season just because of that experience this season. Same with Gray. So I think we've got a squad. I think maybe a couple of players here and there, Clive, to strengthen us up a bit. But we need to stay fit. That's like any team in the league. You know, you've had it with this season with injuries as well. And we could all say the same thing about yourselves. As like, if you had, like if Saka wasn't out for 2 months and then Odegaard, but you get what I mean. Yeah, Odegaard, I don't follow Arsenal that much, Clive. Odegaard not getting injured as well and having the form that he had last season. Because obviously we know he's dropped off a little bit this season. But if he had that, like you guys would be a lot tighter. A lot tighter to Liverpool. And I think for us at the moment is that you look on paper, and again on paper, look at the players that we've got. It's a team that could compete for top four. We just need to stay fit.
So you think the squad that you've got could compete with top four?
Well, getting rid of a couple of those players that I mentioned and strengthening them up a little bit.
Well, with Ange?
Now, that's a good question. I don't know.
Didn't Ange basically say, though, that he personally thinks he's gone anyway, like recently? I'm sure there was a thing where he basically came out and said, regardless of what happens with the Europa League, I think enough of the fans are basically saying that they want me out, so that's going to be the case.
Wasn't that just him being him in that interview? Because you can't really take that seriously.
I don't think he says seriously.
Because he's sarcastic, he's tries to be funny, he comes across arrogant sometimes. You just don't know. And
it definitely didn't come across in that. I feel like he was being serious at that point. Like he probably said it a little bit heated. But I think when you start saying things like that, surely like the board have got to be looking at that and thinking.
Unless he did have the conversation recently with Levy as to like, look, you know, doesn't matter what you do now, off you go. But I can't see that just because of the morale.
I could. That's exactly what Levy would do. Like, I think he would have got rid of him, mate.
I think Levy would have just got rid of him.
I think Levy's probably learned his lesson from Mourinho in the Carling Cup final.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, if you're this close and you are, like, you're now in a semi-final, I don't think he could risk doing that again.
It'd be a laugh and stop doing it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, considering he wins his trophy in his second season. So, you might as well see what he can do. I mean, let's be honest, look at all the other managers that like to lose their stats. Mourinho always wins a trophy at the club that he's at. That didn't work. Conte, I think, had some stat as well that didn't work. Unfortunately, Ange might meet that criteria of not winning.
So when he goes in the summer, who's your pick?
I have no idea, mate. I have no idea. As long as it's not fucking Lampard or Rooney.
Well, Ancelotti might be free, won't he?
I don't know what appointment that would be.
I don't think that would happen.
Southgate's available.
Oh, no. Fuck that noise.
I reckon he'd do a good job at Tottenham.
I don't think he would. I think he'd get relegated.
He'd get you higher than 15th.
No. I think he'd get you in the top 10.
Apparently that Lopetegui's quite good. You want to get him in?
I've never heard of him. Lopetegui, though.
Oh, yeah, Lopetegui, sorry, yeah.
A lot of Tottenham fans obviously want Poch back, but America are hosting the World Cup and he's managing the USA. Like, he's not going to trade that in just yet, is he?
No, unless Levy's holding on as long as possible until we can get Poch in.
I mean, if you keep Ange there another season, you are getting relegated.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get relegated. I think the squad that we've got is good enough, regardless of Ange managing it or not, to not get us relegated.
I think Romero's gone in the summer, so you got.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. He nearly gave me a heart attack today with his challenge.
Oh,
it's disgusting, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but let's move on from Tottenham. I'm sick of Tyler talking about the Wolves game. I'm happy to talk about Frankfurt game all night if you want, but the Wolves game. Oh, let's move on to the next game.
Bob, Liverpool West Ham.
Yeah. it's kind of as I expected, really. Although not totally. The first half, Liverpool absolutely rinsed us. Salah was just completely like rinsing fucking Ollie Scholes down the right hand side, causing all sorts of havoc. And I thought, from that, this is going to be another... They'd already scored, I think, 11 goals against us before this game. So I thought that's probably another five at this rate. But I will say, in the second half, we came out a lot better. And I think what happened was we took off Ollie Scholes because it was obvious that he was getting absolutely, like, murked by Salah. And brought on Vladimir Soufal and moved Wan-Bissaka over to the left-hand side to kind of take on Salah a little bit more, which worked out a lot better. We also moved Paqueta back further back in midfield, which gave him a lot more space to be able to look up and make good passes, of which we probably could have scored a couple more. We were completely all over him. And you could tell that a goal was coming, and then obviously we scored. And they fucking scored again. I thought when we scored that we'd actually do an upset and we could have a conversation on this podcast about how Arsenal should have bought a striker and should still be competing. but unfortunately, that didn't happen. Fucking Big Verge came in and, yeah, fucked us over. But yeah, I think it was, like I say, I think I predicted 3-0. And I don't think we was that bad. The first half, we definitely, I'm not sure if we were that bad or Liverpool were just that good. I think Ollie Scholes is quite inexperienced, and him, a match against Salah, like, it just weren't ever going to happen for him. But the second half...
It's a bit of poor management, that, by Graham Potter, right? Because he's not...
Don't you dare say that, Clive.
How old is Scholes? Is it like
he's only like 20, I think.
And he's, what, he's a handful of like appearances this season. So to put him up against Mo Salah, who's having arguably the best season of his life. So, like, don't get me wrong, it's a big ask for anyone, right?
Yeah.
An 18, 19, 20-year-old.
Yeah, especially as he's only consistently started since Potter took over. So it's not like he's got heaps of Premier League experience. And yeah, like you say, Salah up there with the best players in the world right now, if not the best player in the world right now, or had the best season. I suppose you could say it's bad management, but I think what worked well was the second half, and he obviously noticed that, which you could argue he should have known that before they even went out on the pitch, really.
I guess it's with the same kind of thought, though. Like, we have seen young players this season come on and just look like they're seasoned pros, so maybe that was the hope.
Yeah, and I also think that Salah's recent form hasn't been as exceptional as, yeah. So maybe he had that in mind, but obviously it didn't work out. But I think the plus side is obviously the second half, he's noticed it. Got Wan-Bissaka over there, who just kept Salah quiet to the point where he was taken off late on in the game. And that was the other thing. I thought, well, it's 1-1 now. We're all over him, and they ain't even got Salah on the pitch, so we're definitely going to win this. And then fucking Virgil van Dijk scores. Dickhead.
I've made a note about that as well. What a stupid free kick. I don't know who it was, but what a stupid free kick to give away at that point of the game.
I'll tell you who that fucking was. I think it was Mavropanos, because I remember being... Do you know, there's so many circumstances where I've been angry at that man this season that I kind of forget which ones, and I think it was him. I'm pretty sure it was him.
I saw it, because he cleared the corner, started getting out, they got the ball back, played it down the wing. It looked like he was going to clear it again and then foul.
Like,
what are you doing?
The thing is, as well, that's like frustrating is, like, I mentioned about Paqueta earlier on.
No, it was Paquet. Whatever his name is, Paquetta.
Paquet. Paquet.
Yeah.
It's Paquet.
He gave it away. He gave it.
Close getting his deals in. Okay. Fair enough. And I've moaned a lot about Paquetta this season as well, to be fair. But I will say he was probably, minus that, one of the best players in this game. I think the frustrating thing with him is that he tries these clever passes, which would be really good if he's got anyone that's on the same wavelength as him. But it doesn't always work out. I think when he got a bit deeper and Bowen was able to run onto things, that kind of worked out a lot better. I think when he's playing too close to him, he's trying these little like intricate passes and stuff, and they just never come off. I don't want to say frustrating, actually, because I think the second half actually gave me some hope. But it was disappointing to lose in the end, because I think we deserved a draw out of that game. I think we had the better of the second half, and the first half was obviously all Liverpool, so I think 1-1 would have been a fair result, but obviously it didn't work out that way. Bad.
Wan-Bissaka still player of the season in the West Ham shirt?
Yeah, I think so, easily. I can't think of anyone that's had a better season than him on the team. Really?
Yes. Again, it's just not been a season of note for West Ham whatsoever, has it really?
No. But I think he has been the one, even defensively and even going forward, which we've all said is not probably his best thing to be doing. Yeah,
definitely the worst thing he was at United was his attacking, right?
Yeah, but I think he's been equally dangerous. Like I said, some of the games that especially the latter end of the season when we've actually needed it, because we haven't got anyone that can actually score a goal on the pitch. He's been so good at those runs forward, and much better at those the recovery runs after them as well.
I was going to say he struggled though, didn't he? Not him struggling, the West Ham team defensively struggling at the beginning of the season. Because he got forward too much.
I've called him out several times, right?
Yeah, but I
don't even think that is his fault. I think that was a clear message from the manager that he wants him to get forward, and he would expect our defence to be able to get over and cover if necessary. And I think there was loads of circumstances that we talked about earlier on in the season that the other players just weren't getting there, and like. Yeah, I don't necessarily put that down to him, but yeah, like obviously, I think now under Potter, and even to a certain extent, I think at the end of when Lopetegui was there, there was a lot better signs of people getting over to cover. I think Mavropanos a lot of the time and players like that to get over to cover when he does make those forward runs. But yeah, I like to answer your question, Clive, like definitely player of the season for me. Like you say, I don't think anyone's really overachieved. It's not like I could say, you know, he's like player of the season in the Premier League. Like there's absolutely no chance of that, I wouldn't say. But for us, I would say if you had to pick one player from the season, or so, actually, if you said to me, you have to pick three players from the team that you definitely want to keep, he would be one of them.
Who are the other two?
Bowen. And fucking hell, it's harder than you think, isn't it?
Antonio.
They said today he could be back in training soon.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, madness. And they also did say in the same sentence, we can't guarantee that he'll be given a new contract in the summer.
Yeah. There's been, actually, talking of that, I'll just quickly pick a third player because otherwise I know you're going to come back to it. So I'm going to go with Paqueta because he might get banned and leave anyway. No, I do actually genuinely really rate him when he's playing well. Talking of weird West Ham stuff that happens with our board. Apparently, Potter was basically saying how exciting our summer transfer window is going to be. And the board were basically just like, well, actually, we think differently to that. We don't have enough money to spend. So I don't know where he's getting this from, basically. And yeah, so that's a little bit weird. It's like almost like they're not on the same page.
Potter out in the summer.
Oh, fucking probably. Who knows?
Australian up for grabs.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'll take Lopetegui back.
But you'll play attractive football the West Ham way.
Yeah, well, again, what is the West Ham way? Who knows? I thought the West Ham way was under David Moyes, to be honest. That's when we were champions of Europe. But yeah, that was weird. I don't like things like that because it almost puts like it makes us look stupid. I think it makes the manager look stupid. What?
Nothing.
It makes the club look poorly run, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but I didn't like that. But yeah, that was about it from the West Ham game, really. It was an expected loss, wasn't it? Let's face it.
Yeah, like it's a free hit.
Yeah.
Imagine you won it and you'd be above United and Tottenham, wouldn't you?
Do you know what? I was so open there because I've still got that BFC that Luke might owe me in my mind. So
I mean, you're only 2 points behind them, and I think they've got a tougher end of the season run than you.
Yeah.
Well, we have.
Who have you got next, actually?
That's a good question.
We've got Southampton.
We've got Nottingham Forest.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but they're on a bad little run.
I think they're bottling it.
I mean, Newcastle are looking superb as well at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, Tottenham have got Bodo Glimt in the semi-finals.
Are they beating Lazio in the end?
Yeah, in pennies.
So he should be in the final.
It's Tottenham. All right, let's not get ahead of ourselves. They got to the semi-finals for some reason.
Should be in the final.
God, I couldn't even pronounce the team we've got.
Should be in the final.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they should. If Chelsea don't win that, Maresca's got to go as well. Let's go on to Chelsea if no one else wants to talk about West Ham.
No, they were just unlucky, West Ham. I thought they deserved the point.
Excellent. That might be the nicest thing you've ever said to me on this podcast.
Hey, you're welcome, mate.
He was hoping for that so he could try and back up his point about Arteta going for the league as well as the Champions League.
Yeah.
Double down.
You think too much into it.
Yeah, Chelsea. Chelsea played Ipswich.
Tough team, Ipswich.
Fuck you, Mitchell. Your comment from last week as well. I wish, Mike, can you play something over this from what Mitchell said last week about Ipswich? Yeah, because I feel like he said something like, oh, yeah, it's fucking Ipswich would beat him.
I definitely didn't. I'll tell you what I did say, and I will say it again right now. We should be beating Ipswich. Hands down. But we don't like winning at home anymore, apparently. There's a few things to dissect from this game, right? And I want to touch on Maresca a little bit after. But
excellent.
Yeah. But the game itself, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. I think this was probably the first game this season where I was genuinely annoyed because I was like, considering where we are in the league and then other teams around us, City doing right now, Newcastle flying.
Pretty much his strongest lineup as well.
What's that?
Pretty much his strongest starting lineup as well.
Although I still had a few gripes from it. I'll get to that. But I don't understand the logic in it because, like I said, top four, now top five, you got the nice little buffer, should be, you know, everything. And you can't beat Ipswich at home. It's so frustrating. And the two goals that they did score were just so, so simple. A pass, a cross, a goal. Pass, cross, goal. How can you not defend that? Especially the first one. I can't remember where's the Ipswich player, but he's between two defenders. And the first defender, it might have been Cucurella. It's just... how are you not getting the ball first? How are you missing the ball? It's just poor defending again. And then it's just a poor performance. Like, we had so many shots and quite a few shots on target, but they're like nothing shots. They're just like shots that you shouldn't be taking. Work it a bit more. Put in a better ball. Don't just take long-range shots and think, oh, we'll get the stats up and it'll look all right. Palmer, not our Palmer, their Palmer, had a very good game. But that still doesn't excuse anything. We should, given everything else going on, be beating this Ipswich team.
The fact that because you're buying Liam Delap, they don't play him against you until the 71st minute as well. Kind of
is that right?
What you're doing, or apparently that's the rumours. You've kind of done deals, probably done already, and he'll be a Chelsea boy. So,
he did come on, didn't he?
Come on, 71st minute or something like that. I think.
That's dirty if that's true.
It's Chelsea, mate. What do you expect?
Is your Palmer playing?
He's got an assist as well. He's back, boys.
Oh. He's back. Has he still got a fever?
No.
Definitely didn't feel the chills, did he?
Oh, come on, enough of that shit. I mean, again, with Jackson as well, I'm still happy with him, I think. I just wish he could shoot properly. Because he did make a little bit of a nuisance of himself again. He's getting in there in the right positions, and the ball is finding him. Lovely. But he's hitting the post when he should be scoring. Oh, if he could score, mate, he'd be so good. We'd be, well, fourth if he could score. But, yeah, he's changed the back four again. I think Adarabio came in this week for someone else who was there last week. I can't remember. It might have been Chalobah who was in the middle. This time, he's gone and stuck Chalobah out at right back. He will put anyone and everyone at right back except for Reece James. And he will play Reece James anywhere and everywhere except right back. I don't understand it. It's almost like Tuchel's comments has got in his head about him, where he's kind of on and off said, well, I think he's got it wrong. Just play him at right back. It's his best position. Absolutely will not do it. Don't understand the logic there. Keep Chalobah in the middle next to Colwill. Play Reece James on the right if you're not going to play Gusto. I don't know what's the matter with him. He was on the bench. He did come on. But start Reece James there. Fuck me. When he's on, he's the captain. Although, would he get captain over Enzo these days? Not sure. But, yeah, Maresca, the crowd started chanting not long into the game because they're getting frustrated. We're not attacking. We're just passing it around at the back and waiting for mistakes to happen or lose the ball and have a quick counter against us.
You seem to have lost all flair.
Yeah.
At the start of the season, you were one of the better teams to watch.
No. And it's absolutely gone out the window. And at the time, I thought, well, this is the classic Chelsea blip at winter, which seems to happen regardless. But it never Sprinter. Came back. Yeah. Sprinter.
Well, it's a bit chilly, isn't it?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, it never came back. And I don't know what's gone on there. Is that Maresca's fault? Why has our style of play gone like that? You know, we've got players back now. Again, Badawayke had a good game. He was the only one really running forward and trying to make things happen. But yeah, you can't play such passive football at home against a team that's going to be relegated when you are fighting for a Champions League position. It is indefensible. I don't even know if that's a word. Unexcusable. That's what I was looking for. It's late, all right? But he's, I don't know, he's, people are starting to ask questions of Maresca.
Are you starting to ask questions?
I am. I even said it last week. I can't remember the week before now. It's been a long time. Oh, what was our result the last game we played? Because I think we lost that as well, didn't we?
Brentford or something like that.
Drew, yeah, that's right. 0-0. Drew 0-0 with Brentford. And we lost. We beat Tottenham. There you go. I thought we had Tottenham recently. But that's easy. and we lost 1-0 to Arsenal. We lost tonight against Warsaw. But I mean, it was 3-0 in the last game. But again, it's our home results. I think that's six in a row now of home games where we haven't won. That's unbelievable.
So is it the crowd?
Well, the crowd are turning. And Maresca's response to the crowd turning and telling them to attack. Did you hear what he said?
No. This is about the top four thing.
No. So he basically said that the reason we conceded the second goal against Ipswich is because the Chelsea crowds were chanting attack. And then we tried to attack, we lost the ball, and then on the counter they scored. You can't say that.
Seems legit.
Maybe is. You can't say that.
Who needs a manager when you've got the crowd, right?
Yeah, but it's this sort of spiciness with the crowd, and then not admitting that something's not quite right now, and why he seems to keep changing his back four a lot. And again, my gripes with Reece James: he's fit. Let's play him. Fuck me. He's probably one of our best players when he's on. So, yeah, something's not right. And even he seems to start he looks a bit annoyed now. He looks a bit fed up. And I don't know if that's translating onto the pitch. The players are a bit fed up. No one looks up for anything. It's all by the by. It's like you should be fighting with everything to get this Champions League spot, and you are letting it slip out of your grasp. I mean, we're sixth on 54.
I think you're out. I think you're done.
Well, it's still tight because I think Newcastle absolutely safe on third. They might even nick your position because you're Champions League run at the moment. Forest seem to be bottom it. They've lost two on the bounce. City are so unpredictable at the moment. They're all over the place. They're only a point in front of us. We're in sixth. Villa joint points in seventh, and they're on a 4-win run. It does feel like we're dropping out of the top six here.
I just think all the other teams, with the exception of Man City, have the momentum. And Forest,
yeah.
But again, they got Tottenham this weekend, so they get that back.
But that's realistically, I mean, again, City are just City. Even with their horrible run, you can't see them not finishing outside the Champions League positions. So our only realistic bet is taking over Forest and Forest slip up.
And not ruling out Villa either. Villa,
right? Yeah, this is what I mean. This is the thing. Like if we slip and we finish seventh, eighth, possibly even ninth or tenth, because tenth, ninth and eighth, they're all on 48. To me, that's a bad season. I said it before. I said it'd be a great season if we got top four. That'd be incredible. I'm not expecting that. Europa, yes, please. We should be getting Europa.
So the next question is, if you fall out of, say, the Champions League spots, say you finish seventh, Maresca goes, because that's the Chelsea way, do you think Cole Palmer stays?
Yeah. I mean, who else is going to take him? Oh, he's been fucking abysmal the second half of the season. No, I think it would depend who we get in, doesn't it? He might have a look and see what's going on. I
think he wants another season with it. I know he's young, but do you think he wants another season without Champions League?
Possibly. I mean, he's getting game time now. He didn't get that at City.
I'm not saying back to City, but if you went to Newcastle or a Villa or someone like that, those clubs are on the way up at the moment.
Oh, I know. Maybe Newcastle, not Villa. But I don't know. I don't know. This sounds out of order, but Newcastle and Villa, I don't think are. I know this season, I know, but I don't feel like they're stepping stones from Chelsea. It would have to be someone like Arsenal.
I was going to say the same thing. I think Cole Palmer going to Newcastle or Villa is. I think it's more going sideways.
Yeah.
More than anything. I think just the way, because Chelsea are building something. And plus, then Cole Palmer got like a 7-year contract.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sure he'll still be there.
I'm going to say it. We are the youngest team in the Premier League.
They are young.
So it is a. There's no real big voice. It is a squad that's growing, but it might have to grow without Maresca if he drops out of these Champions League spots and doesn't win the conference, even not winning the conference.
How long's he been there?
Well, start of the season.
But then, fucking...
This is what we do.
This is what I was saying like early on in the season about getting Ange out. You know, and the way he's playing, it's like the teams are just so fucking frustrating that four or five managers have already been sacked this season. And maybe more than that. And I understand it. There's expectations of clubs. I get that. But I just feel like sometimes, like clubs like Chelsea, where they've just brought all these players in and they still ain't had like a proper full season to gel together and for Maresca to find his full squad, his proper squad without a pre-season. coming up.
Which is why I think a young squad is such a detriment.
So I feel even if they don't win this Conference League, which we all expect them to win, even if they don't get top four, I think, as I mentioned earlier on, which I thought, again, mixed up what you were saying, Mitchell, is that I think you come out and say, like, when was Chelsea fighting for top four? You know, when was the last time Chelsea looked like they were going to go for it? This season is a high... Overachieved. But everyone's now expecting it. Everyone's now expecting Chelsea that should be top four now. They should be top four. I don't think that's right. I don't think for the beginning of the season, there's no way you would go for four.
No, you're right. And that's what I was saying. But
you've got to back your manager, mate.
Fine. But if we finish ninth, that's underperforming.
You're not finishing ninth. You're not finishing ninth. Who was your last six games?
Let's have a look. They're not. So we've got Fulham next, then Everton, Liverpool, Newcastle, Nottingham Forest.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, you might be finishing ninth.
it's not the best run.
No, I think you'll beat Fulham though.
I don't think we'll beat Fulham. Are we at home or are we away?
You're away because they beat you at Stamford Bridge, didn't they?
I see that, and that fills me with more hope, the fact that we're away. It's how bad we've been at home. But if we do lose to Fulham, that is them, 2 points behind us? I've lost the table now, or is it?
3 points.
3 points. Which is just making all of these positions even more tighter. It's not out of the realms of possibility that we finish ninth this season. And if you'd said that to me at the start of the season, finishing ninth, I would have said, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
So,
and if we said that to you around Christmas time when you was flying, you would say, that's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. How has that happened? Who's let that happen? Who's at fault? And I agree with you, Luke. It is frustrating when teams get rid of managers so quickly. But unfortunately, Chelsea have done this for so long now, but it's worked. We've proved that it's worked for us. We've won trophies because of it.
I don't disagree with that, but that is usually when you're, with the exception of, no, even with him, other than Maresca, you've always gone and got proven managers.
Yeah.
Graham Potter, he had Premier League experience and did a good job at Brighton. So maybe those two.
Yeah, I think Potter was a gamble.
The two, so your two last managers are unproven in the Premier League, really. Well, Potter's proven in the Premier League, but not to any great level. So
yeah, and these are the two cowboy appointments, aren't they?
Yeah. So maybe it's a money thing or maybe it's an ambition thing, but I don't think you're going for the same calibre of manager. Like, the only thing that, if I was a Chelsea fan, the only thing that I would want is Maresca goes and Ancelotti comes back. He'd be available.
I'll take you back.
I think every Chelsea fan would. Yeah, every Chelsea fan would. But I just don't see, where's the ambition in appointing Maresca as a manager? Yeah, he did a good job getting Leicester back to the Premier League.
Yeah, and being... That's it. Pep's
one of Pep's little
proteges.
Yeah,
that's it. I did have high hopes. I liked how he handled himself. He had a bit of an aura about him. But now he's challenging the crowd, and he's not getting the players performing. I mean, at what stage do you start blaming the manager when the players aren't performing? It's been coming up 4 or 5 months now of underperforming week after week after week. Whose fault is that? It's got to fall at the manager, right?
Yeah, agreed.
So I think he might be safe. No, it's not might. He will be safe if we get Europa. But you drop out of that, I think he's gone. I don't know who will replace him, but I think he'll be gone.
Yeah, I think if he finishes any lower than seventh, even if you win the Conference League, I think he's gone.
Yeah, a Conference League is not enough for Chelsea. That won't save him. It's not like a Ange trying to get a Europa League.
Oh, mate, I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, okay, I do get it.
Well, you don't get trophies,
I'm just frustrated. I'm just frustrated by it. If that's the way it is going to be. I mean, it's just you might as well just be like what Levy does. In just focus on the club itself in profit every year, making sure we're in the Premier League, making sure we're making profit, and then leave it at that. Fuck the trophies. Just make it that a club's in profit and that the revenue's going up every single year. You know, because I think that's what it is. That's what it is, isn't it? It's like Chelsea, if they want to, and we're talking about this, is do they want to get rid of a manager because he's only been there one season and not been able to settle properly, and then he doesn't get the Conference League and they don't finish in top four? I'd be curious to see what the expectations were at the beginning of this season. Was it just top six for Chelsea?
I think it would have been top six.
No, that's what I mean. So like, for us to say this and be like, because I feel like they're already overachieved, like they've got, like I said, six games left. There's a chance of now fighting. If Nottingham Forest lose against us, they're going to drop points. And if you win your game against Fulham, you're back up there again. And there's that talk again. I just feel like we're too quick. There. We're too quick as fans of football and even people within football to just sack people for the sake of it, just so they can then get another manager in that may still struggle again because they're going to need another season to glue the squad together. I feel like give him another season, regardless of where he finishes, or even half a season. Just see where things go, because getting rid of him one season in already is ridiculous. And he hasn't had a pre-season. Is that my understanding?
No, he did. And he did. Only won one game in the pre-season.
Fair enough. Yeah, but no one cares about the pre-seasons. So no, it's just fitness, isn't it? But give him another season, at least.
Well, then he needs to get Europa. I'm happy to see how he does with another season. But he fucking needs to get Europa, at the very least.
Similar question to the one I gave Luke as well. With your current squad, the youngest squad in the Premier League, do you think it's good enough to challenge the top four next year?
Fucking hell, on paper, I think so, yes. I think the youngness does massively play a part. You do need...
Oh, fuck off.
Why? To challenge?
Oh, I'm not having it. I hate it as an excuse. I just hate it.
See, I think, like, I look at the teams that are at the moment challenging, shall we say, for top four. You've got your Liverpool, you've got your Arsenal, then you've got, like, let's not all be quite brutal with Forest. It's very unlikely that you're challenging again next season for top four. City will come back, be better. Newcastle and Villa are not going to be any worse next season. And I look at Chelsea and go, are they miles better than Newcastle? Would I rather the Newcastle midfield than the Chelsea midfield?
Not miles better, but maybe somewhere on par. And look at Newcastle right now.
There's no reason why
we couldn't be top three.
We
need a better goalkeeper.
I look at the Newcastle team and I think, how many of Chelsea players get into that Newcastle team?
Yeah, but you're basing it on this season's performance, right?
Well, the last two seasons' performances.
Because the last 5 months, pretty much everyone has underperformed. But you look at, I mean, especially that first half of the season, but our defensive midfields, Fernandes and Caicedo, fantastic. Palmer.
And Bruno Guimaraes.
I wouldn't say one was better than the other. It's on par.
Caicedo's been linked with Saudi as well.
That would be upsetting. That would be a huge loss at the moment.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Isak better than, well, he's probably the second best out-and-out striker in the Premier League. Like, you'd probably even take Jacob Murphy at the moment at Chelsea.
Yeah, but again, on paper, like, you look at that front. The front four from Ipswich, for example, Madueke, Palmer, Neto, Jackson, should be plenty. It should be plenty. Neto has been decent, but like I say, Palmer's underperformed. Madueke's just come back from injury, so we don't know. Give him maybe a couple of weeks. He ain't got long left. And Jackson is fucking close. Obviously, I'd pick Isak, but Jackson oh God, I hope he just fucking, someone puts a trainer on him just to get his finishing right, get that last touch right. But he does everything else right. So it's like maybes at the moment. And is Maresca the man to gel them all together going into next season? Again, it's another maybe. But for that to happen, he definitely needs to get Europa. They're not going to keep him if he finishes outside of that.
Problem,
and then it all starts again, doesn't it?
Problem you've got is, even if you've got another manager in, like, I don't think he can even bring any players in, can he?
Why?
They are selling their trucks on.
Yeah, and with the obviously 7 to 8 year contracts for the players, like, to sell them off and whatnot, it's going to be a nightmare.
That's right. They don't have to worry about PSR because they just sell the ladies' thing to themselves again.
Yeah, exactly
that. But mate, what a crazy season this has been. Because if we was at Christmas time, we'd be saying the conversation is, you know, what Newcastle players are getting to win the Chelsea team. You know, just in, because Newcastle weren't doing that well earlier on in the season.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I think it is on par. Football is a
strange thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's on par. It's just they have form now.
Collectively, the Premier League at the moment, the quality has got worse.
I think who said it the other day? It's got boring because of defenders. They said tonight about defenders, weren't they? We're talking about defenders having so many more touches than any midfield players and strikers.
I definitely think it's become more programmatic in regards to...
Yeah.
And that's what Pep's done to the league, is he's made everyone so tactical and so... Like, you're waiting for an opponent to come out of position, but that opponent is so well-drilled. Like, it's very rarely going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be two strikers up front, mate. I want to see that again. They'll Defoe and Berbatov and Keir, mate. Give me that again. I love having two strikers up front and seeing that 4-4-2 formation. Oh, it's so good.
Those were the days.
Yeah, those were the days.
I just, Clive, to be honest with you, I think, like I said, the two teams, we're only really saying that now because they've hit this great run and we haven't. Like Luke was saying, if we'd said that in the first half of the season, you'd be putting Chelsea players in that Newcastle team. But, like I say, this is why it's like, do you stick with Maresca or is Maresca the problem? Why has it all fallen apart in the second half? Yes, we had a couple of injuries, but I don't think that's enough to stop everyone else working.
Especially when you've got 750 players. And also, I know, obviously you had a good start to the season and that kind of thing, but this is like the crux of the season. This is when, you know, it actually really matters. So, yeah.
And we're throwing away the Champions League.
It's mentality as well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's them young players, isn't it?
Stop it.
Just do need a loud voice in there, an older defender. Give me, what's his name? Silva.
Yeah, go Silva. Yeah.
Come back. Oh, he'd have fucking taken no shit. I'd even take back Ariza Balaga at the moment. Fucking hell.
Get Luis back.
Yeah. David Luiz, yeah.
Get Raheem Sterling back as well.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can keep him. Should we end the podcast there?
Oh, Chelsea. No, Clive's got to talk about his fucking draw against Everton, isn't it? Was it Everton?
Brentford last weekend.
Brentford, that's it, yeah.
That's a tough team, isn't
it? Definitely a tough team. What a game. Not really too much to talk about other than potentially a red card for them that wasn't given and two mediocre goals, really. Like, I mean, the Arsenal goal was a very nice counter-attack and the defensive midfielder setting up another defensive midfielder, which was pretty nice to see when Rice was running forward and he looked right. I thought, don't give it to Partey. Don't give it to... Oh, okay. Right, okay, Partey can finish that one. Didn't think he had that turn of pace in him as well to keep up. But... And then a City goal to concede, which we couldn't really do too much about. Other than that, it's pretty much the game you'd expect after seeing the Arsenal lineup, really. Partey played at right back. One of the fan favourites, Kieran Tierney. Probably one of his last starts for Arsenal. So nice to see him get some minutes. Zinchenko in midfield. Trossard as the false nine, Jorginho in there. So didn't really go into the match with that lineup thinking, well, we're going to absolutely run over them here. So, but Arteta got it absolutely right again. I don't care. It's a draw. We move on, and then we play a Champions League game midweek.
Here we go.
Oh, Declan Rice is worth 200 million. Oh.
I mean, at the moment, you can't argue it.
I mean, he played against a poor Real Madrid team.
No, it's such a cop out that you can figure that if you like. But at the end of the day, they've knocked Man City out of this tournament this year. They were the holders. So, yeah, any team with Mbappe, Vinicius Junior, Jude Bellingham, Rudiger, Tino Courtois, Paul.
That's that.
Poor team.
Structure-wise, Arsenal, like, they had a plan and it worked very well. They had no leaders as well, Real Madrid, in both those games. They had no one in there to change the play earlier on, to just attack. Like, they just kept trying to do through balls all the time or balls over the top when you got Saliba in there that's just fucking mopping it up and Rice. It was just, they just had nothing. They weren't their normal Real Madrid self, and they've been poor this season as well.
I mean, a lot of that is again to do with the way that we set up 100%.
Oh, I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that. You had a plugin, you had a game plan, and it worked. But they didn't change the way they played to break that game plan down.
Well, I think they tried in regards to doing the crossing, but that didn't work. But I don't know why that was a tactic for Real Madrid.
And they should have figured that out sooner. That second leg, they were doing those crosses. Mate, stop doing them in the 70th, 80th minute. It hasn't worked all game. Do something
You've
different.
Got one of the most achieved managers around. Surely at half time, he's got to have words. And maybe the players think they know better now. Because like, they have got
ego,
big characters.
Isn't it?
They,
yeah. That's the problem with Real
Madrid. It was terrible.
Jude wasn't able to get on the ball. And when he did find a little bit of space, he had Partey and Rice close him down. The other player that no one is really mentioning too much other than probably Rio Ferdinand was Timber. Timber was unbelievable over both legs. And they scored a goal because of a rare William Saliba mistake. Other than that, they didn't have a sniff. Really, they didn't work the keeper up until the last 3-4 minutes.
Great performance from Arsenal. You can't deny it. Over both legs. Arteta absolutely nailed that.
Yeah, I said it last week and I've said it a few times. I think we are better suited for European football at the moment because teams don't come and try and low block us the whole time. We're actually doing the reverse. We're low blocking teams. And Rice's motor at the moment is unbelievable. Again, even in the Brentford game at the weekend, he was the outstanding player. And made the goal. Him being able to break forward and not have as much defensive duty has kind of, I'm not going to say taken him to another level in his game because he showed that at West Ham in his last season at West Ham, but he's definitely added to his game and grown a bit. Yeah.
I think you've got taking credit for that, Clive. Bullshit.
No, Arteta can take credit for that, mate.
No, Arteta can't take credit for shit other than whinging about balls and stuff. But he does.
They are different balls in the Carling Cup, but who cares about that nowadays?
I'm sure if you got beat 4-0 by Real Madrid, it would have been something to do with the ball. But, you know.
I mean, if it happens, then we'll see, but it's not happened yet, so...
Well, it's not going to happen this season now, is it?
Well, not this
fucking
season.
Real Madrid. No. I do want to fucking talk about Real Madrid because they are proper dickheads, aren't they? I can't stand them. Just they're, like, I think it is the ego thing. It does seem like they've just got this attitude.
Entitled.
Yeah, and it just fucks me off. And Mbappe can fucking do one. It does my head in as well. I just wish he'd stop playing football. Yeah.
I'll tell you.
I think sometimes he makes them worse. I know that sounds ridiculous considering the amount of goals that he scored, but look, even at PSG, like he just doesn't turn up.
The thing with him is he's not a number nine.
No.
And that's the style of football, the 4-3-3 now. You need a real number nine if you're going to play that kind of way, or completely the opposite. But Real Madrid seem to have, like, his best position when he played for France and whatnot is coming in from the left, right? He's playing from the centre. And even against Arsenal this week, they tried to rotate the three of them around continuously. And it just didn't work because, like, I don't know, like, players didn't know where they were supposed to be at times.
He was also just defensively too good for him. Like, it was so clear. Like, he just completely took him out of the game.
Yeah. Like, again, big, big props to both the fullbacks. Lewis Skelly, again, just doesn't look like he's out of place at the moment. He looks like he's played that position for years, and it's not even his natural position, which is even more crazy. Timber, I can't think of a bad game Timber's had in an Arsenal shirt yet. He's been superb playing at left and right back. And even Kiriwar, who's come in, and that was the big worry for every Arsenal fan, most likely, is Gabriel's been so good. Not having Gabriel against the likes of Real Madrid, we are going to suffer. But Kiriwar has come in and just looked like he should be there, which is great from an Arsenal perspective anyway. Yeah, I hope Arteta does the same again. Well, I think we've got a bit of a gap between now and the next Champions League game, and Partey can't play in it because of the stupid booking. But I think we've got Ipswich. I think we're following Chelsea's fixtures at the moment. So we've got Ipswich this weekend. And I hope he plays a similar lineup to what he did against Brentford. Give Sterling some minutes, give Jorginho some minutes, Sinchenko, KT. Like, Raya's going to start. Trossard needs to find some kind of form. So just try and play these players into form just in case you do need them for the Champions League games. So, at the moment, couldn't care less about the Premier League or on the Champions League hype.
Yeah, same.
May it not continue.
PSG is going to be an interesting one because they are the informed team in the Champions League, is what people will say. And it'd be interesting to see that battle again, because we've played them once in the Champions League this year already and beat them. But they have seemed to really just step up their game now.
That first leg against Liverpool, they looked absolutely amazing, didn't they?
Yeah, but they give you chances. And if Saka plays anything like he did against Madrid, I fancy Saka getting a goal or two. He's come back, and I know we said about a couple of players needing a bit of time to get back to fitness or back to form. He seems to have picked up where he left off, really, which is great, again, from an Arsenal perspective. So hopefully he doesn't have any kind of niggles or relapses.
Fingers crossed.
Just hear the bitterness. It's not from Luke for once, which is the real shocker.
Mate, what can I say? Like, you smashed Real Madrid. Like, no matter how much I hate Arsenal, you know, even I've got to have some sense as to, like your game plan was phenomenal. You know, obviously my argument obviously is still a poor Real Madrid team, but you still had a great game plan and won that game fair and square. The goals in the first game from fucking Rice, those free kicks were just out of this world. Well, I've watched them like 4 or 5 times now, and it's just to get better every time I watch it. You know, I'm not disputing that. And I don't really have much to say other than the shitty Everton game, which Everton should have won.
Oh, I mean, I disagree with that, but sure.
Oh, no, because I just want Arsenal to lose. Oh, you're probably the better team. I just want Everton to win. But I'll let Bob be a bit sour today.
Now, do you know what? I'm just fed up with football in general, really. It's fucking West End. Who wants to finish 17th? It's the fourth worst position.
I'll tell you, big mess. Finish 17th, Ipswich.
Yeah, they probably do.
You could still finish above Tottenham. Like, that's what you should be looking forward to.
Do you know what, Clive?
Yeah.
I want Arsenal to win the Champions League.
Oh, fuck off, Bob.
No, I do.
No,
I do.
You're making me very happy, Bob.
This is fucking bullshit. Someone's going to be wearing an Arsenal top. It's going to be you, Bob. And not just because you've lost anything, just because I feel like you just want to.
Different.
This is fucking bullshit.
Out of the teams that are remaining, I don't really like any of them, and I think I'll just go for an English
Barcelona.
Team. Yeah, I'd fuck Barcelona really. Now that Messi's left.
With Barcelona as well, they roll around and dive and it's horrible to watch.
Like Arsenal.
Exactly like Arsenal.
Barcelona.
But yeah, I think I hate Arsenal the least, so I want them to win.
You're welcome, Clive. Want Declan to win it as well.
No.
That's why you don't want them to win it.
No, I mean, there's an air of wanting the English teams to win it, but fucking hell, Arsenal.
I know, because they're insufferable. The fans are insufferable.
Glad we won it first. That's all that matters.
Cause no, because then we can't say about the European trophies no more if Arsenal don't. If Arsenal win it, it's just, I've got to have something to come back, even if it's just minor.
Even from like an England perspective, you're pumping that winning mentality into the core of the England team at that point as well.
No, Liverpool have done it.
How many English players from Liverpool?
Doesn't matter. Alexander Arnold. Done. That's all I've got. I'm taking it.
All right, give Lewis Skelly the England left back for the next 10 years, the Champions League.
I'll take Lewis Skelly as a left back. He seems good, but he's a bit dangerous, though. Nice to give a dodgy kick here and there and yellow card, red card.
He's got a dodgy red card against him, and if he was smart on the one against West Ham, he would have just gone down rolling, holding his face and probably got a free kick.
But he's young, so we give him the benefit of doubt, obviously.
And you stop that as well now, Luke.
Yeah. What?
All this young player shit. No, stop it.
Mate, I'm when it comes to England, yeah, as much as I get young with Saka being at Arsenal and Arsenal fans raving about him, he is a quality player, and I want to see England win a fucking World Cup before I die. You know, if players like Skelly, who's on form and he's playing like that against Real Madrid, I mean, fucking, I'd take him every day of the week for England. I want England to win something, and if players like that are going to perform like that, I want it.
Are you all starting to wake up to Saka's being better than Cole Palmer as well?
No. I think Saka's good, but I think Cole Palmer's better.
The silence is there. They know now. They know
it is, right?
They know.
I mean, it doesn't help that Palmer's been so fucking poor this year. But
This calendar year.
I was like, if I said something.
I thought you meant as in the EDC season,
This calendar year. But the difference with Saka being in that team when he's come back from injury, he was sublime against Madrid. It does make me wonder.
It's just like,
although his penalty,
the penalty,
the penalty was terrible. But then the finish.
I'll stick with Palmer for the penalties.
Then the finish, like, he just bounces back. Doesn't matter. Brush it off.
It was a great finish.
But the thing, and the reason why I say that, because like I've said it a couple of times about Phil Foden not being able to drag Man City up when they're going for a bad patch. Cole Palmer has done that for Chelsea up until the turn of the year. Now, he might be struggling with injuries, like, properly. We don't know. Like, he gets the flu every once in a while. We know that. But again, Saka is just so consistent. Just every game he's gonna do something, he's gonna make something happen. and at the moment Cole Palmer's not. So yeah, I mean maybe boys will wake up properly soon. So.
Can I just say something, right? Talking about that penalty really quick. I just thought of something that winds me up. I don't like that it's called a Panenka. I hate it. But I fucking hate it.
It isn't Panenka like the first person to do it? Like,
yeah, but yeah, fuck 100
years ago or something.
Yeah,
it's like the Cruyff turn, though. Isn't
I was going
to
say, so you hate the Cruyff turn as well?
Yeah, yeah. Just stop calling it that. Just call it something else. Like,
what would you call it?
I don't know, a turn or a penalty. Like that's what they are.
Or like a chip shot.
Yeah, like something.
Stop calling it a lob. Call it up the over the goalkeeper.
No, a lob is fine because it's not named after a player. Just fucking stop it.
I fucking hope Saka don't do that shit for England if we get a penalty, because I'd fucking kill him myself.
It's chip shot penalty.
Just run out of there. If Saka dies, if Saka does die after any penalties, it's not me. I'm just running out of there just for legal reasons.
Yeah.
Right? But he fucking, mate, you guys must have been fuming, Clive.
I was pretty fucking angry, but again, I don't know. Like, when do you do that kind of penalty?
Never.
You've got a free. Yeah, not there. You've got a 3-0 barrier. So
no.
It was pretty early on, isn't it?
It was.
It was like the first 10 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, you don't do that. You just put your foot through it.
Kill the crowd. 4-0. But what I will say, right? Even though he did that, not just him, but the whole of the Arsenal squad, it did not faze them in the slightest. If that was Chelsea, that'd have fazed us. We'd have lost that game.
We'd have been 2-0 down before they even got a penny.
Right, shall we move on to man versus AI?
Yeah, fucking hell. It's nearly midnight, Clive.
Fucking Arsenal.
Move this along. Right, okay. So, insert noise.
We don't need to hear the spiel, Clive. Just hit us with it.
Just predictions this week. All right, okay.
Straight in.
Luke is being bossy. Right, so last week, AI predicted a 2-0 win for Arsenal against Brentford. 0 points. Chelsea 3, Ipswich 0, 0 points. Liverpool 2, West Ham 0, 1 point. Wolves 2, and we all laughed. Tottenham 0, 1 point. So AI got a total of 2 points last week. Bob predicted a 3-0 Liverpool win, so got 1 point.
Ooh.
Clive predicted a 1-0 Arsenal win, 0 points. Mitchell predicted... what did he predict?
2-2.
So got... No.
I would love that you went with me as well. I was like, yes, please.
I've lost your
point. I'm pretty sure I said 2-1.
Yeah, you got 0 points. And Luke, once again, predicted a 2-1 Tottenham win. 0 points.
Weren't expecting 4 fucking mistakes, though, was I?
Well, you should have been Tottenham.
So...
That must make things pretty tight.
Why is this spreadsheet?
Okay. I feel like so far away right now.
I'm trying to get the spreadsheet working again. It's been a dick.
Yeah, it's not like we don't do this every week.
You can all take it over if you want.
Just smack the top of it.
Right, so AI are on 86 points. Humans are on 68 points. Mitchell is top on 20 points. Clive, second on 20 points. Bob, third on 18 points. Oh. Luke, still on 10 points.
Consistent.
Yeah, that's very true. Come on, Teeny. Bob, West Ham play against Southampton this weekend.
Well, that's got 2-1 West Ham written all over it, isn't it? I have 2-1 West Ham, please.
He will have 2-1. Oh, what the fuck is going on with this spreadsheet, man? You are at home as well, if you didn't know already.
I didn't know that, but thank you.
Arsenal are away to Ipswich. I'm going to say Liam Delap will get a goal. I'm going to go 2-1 Arsenal.
I'm telling you, we're all going 2-1. There's no way Luke's not going 2-1 against Nottingham Forest.
Mate, I'm going 2-0. Cool.
Luke's going 2-0 to Tottenham.
Why would you do that?
Because I don't need to clarify that. But...
Because Mitchell.
It was about to be a 4-2-1s in a row.
No.
No, Mitchell's going 2-1 to Fulham or 2-1 to Chelsea?
2-1 to Chelsea. I probably would have gone 2-1 Fulham if we were at home. But we're away.
I've got to do a second prediction because Arsenal play Crystal Palace in midweek.
No, for fuck's sake.
So Arsenal at home to Crystal Palace. I'm going to go 2-0 Arsenal.
Oh, Lord.
So, AI. I'm just going to generate the AI, so talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, I missed it again. Luke and Mitchell, do you know that Clive's cooking us samosas tomorrow?
Dude, I'm staying the fucking away from him.
Cooked straight from the garage.
Yeah. Right. Mitchell's bringing around some Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Gonna love this, boys. AI has predicted West Ham 2, Southampton 1.
Fucking right, Bob. Frick.
It has predicted. Oh, fuck off. It has predicted Chelsea 1, Fulham 1. It has predicted Ipswich 1 Chelsea. Oh, Ipswich 1 Arsenal 2. Dickhead. We're not gaining any points this fucking week. It has predicted Tottenham 1 Forest 1.
Interesting.
And it has then predicted Arsenal 2. Oh, fuck off. Palace nil.
Yeah,
right. Fuck me. So I'm definitely not making any grounds on AI this week. Yeah, Luke's going to be wearing an Arsenal. You've got 6 games left to put it back. No,
again, never agreed.
I mean, you agreed to putting shit out of a hat, didn't you?
I agreed something.
Yeah, and we didn't tell you what was going to be in that hat.
Wonderful. Well, it's
full of Arsenal shirts.
Oh boy. Cool. I'm ready to wrap, so I want to go to bed.
Yes, please.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. I will see you. I actually see you all tomorrow.
Yes.
Wonderful.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye. Come to Arsenal.
Fuck off.